Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And with us now, New York Times national editor Sam Sifton, who you may know better in his previous role as food columnist for the Sunday Magazine. He has a new book called Thanksgiving, How to Cook It Well. Hi, Sam. Thanks for coming on, and happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Brian.
This is a book about cooking, but I think it's also a book about family and fear. Is this a fearsome task for many Thanksgiving kitchen dwellers, especially the first time?
I think so. I think it's a horrifying event for a lot of people, at least for the first time, because there's so much pressure put upon the person cooking it. And, of course, there's so much history behind Thanksgiving that people really want it to be a great holiday. It's a stress-filled holiday, a lot of travel involved, a lot of cooking involved. We're not known for cooking in New York City.
If you make a lousy dinner for your spouse and your kids one day, it doesn't really matter.
No.
If you do it for the whole extended family, nobody's ever going
to
forget it.
It's a big problem to screw it up in front of your mother-in-law.
So I thought that as we talk, we might also take some calls from people on their transition from being Thanksgiving guests to Thanksgiving hosts. So listeners, is this your first year as your parents have gotten older or after you've bought that bigger new house and suddenly it makes sense to do it at your place? 212-433-WNYC. Sam Sifton is giving free advice to first-time Thanksgiving hosts. 212-433-9692. Or folks, if you've been doing it for years, call in and look back on that transition. Tell us a story. What was it like cooking and hosting Thanksgiving dinner for the first time? How big was your fear factor? What worked or didn't work in the culinary or familial realms? 212-433-WNYC. This is, of course, in pursuit of tips that you would give to the newbies out there hosting for the first time this year. 212-433-9692. And Sam, you write in the book that for a couple of years, you spent Thanksgiving at the Times answering questions from panicked Thanksgiving cooks. Was it like a real-time Thanksgiving Day help board?
Yes, it was. Butterball puts 300 people on this job. We put me. And it was a fairly intense system that we had going. But the questions were all in the same vein. There were people who were worried about gelling their cranberry sauce, worried about the lumps in their gravy, worried about the frozen turkey on Thanksgiving morning. And I was there to tell them, there's nothing you can do about a frozen turkey on Thanksgiving morning.
You wrote in the book that that was your most frequently asked question.
Yes, and I gave out lots of recommendations for Chinese restaurants that would be appropriate.
And I see that you have lots of different kinds of turkey recipes, which I guess are for the day after. Deep-fried turkey. Oh, no, for the day of.
Yes.
Deep-fried turkey. Grilled turkey. Should people really do that on Thanksgiving rather than just use the oven?
I think the oven is where you want to be for your first Thanksgiving, maybe for your first 10 Thanksgivings. A plain roast turkey, beautifully done, beautifully burnished. This is what you're after.
In general, when is it a good idea to add recipes other than the traditional?
I'm going to start by saying never. And then back away from that quickly because, of course, we do want to add variety. But once we get things settled, that is to say, once you're great at it, you can retire it. But no one will let you.
I'll add one caveat to that. I think one great American thing that we've taken calls on in the past is people's immigrant family Thanksgiving, how they mix and match comfort foods or festive foods from the old country with the usual Thanksgiving fare from this country. Have you seen any great examples of that?
I think this is one of the great things about Thanksgiving in this country is that immigrant groups who come here and adapt cooking from their country to the cooking from our country make for absolutely the best Thanksgivings we can have. And I love to see it every time. I'd love to hear people call in to give us examples. A Guyanese Thanksgiving would be a marvelous Thanksgiving to attend.
Want to hear some first-time stories?
Yes.
Stephen in Basking Ridge, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I remember our first time. We've been making Thanksgiving for about 15 years. And the first time we did it, we decided to try to make a sit-down dinner for 36 people. And that was pretty much of a disaster, 36 people, sit-down dinner.
What'd you get wrong?
I think the logistics of trying to serve 36 people all at the same time, all the same type of food.
That'll trip up anyone. I mean, that causes problems for restaurants, too. I mean, I've been as the restaurant critic for the Times, I saw plenty of restaurants who couldn't serve 36 people at once.
Stephen, thank you. So is part of the solution to that to make a bunch of different side dishes or even main dishes so that people can pick and choose from among their preferences?
Well, I think for the main dish, let's keep it at turkey. You want a lot of side dishes as well, though, I think. And it's perfectly acceptable to get your guests to help you out in that regard. There's a lot of food that travels well for Thanksgiving.
Kim in South Orange, you're on the air. Hi, Kim.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I am hosting, this is about my fourth year hosting, and I actually really like it, like it better when I get to be home. I work in Berth and sometimes have to coach from the sidelines by phone, but this year I plan to be home. And my mother-in-law makes these fantastic spinach pies and sausage rolls and things like that. But the problem is she wants to heat them up in my oven when she gets here. And I think it's a little missed that the turkey is still cooking. So what's a graceful way to handle one's mother-in-law who would like the use of the oven?
Well,
That's my question.
Thank you. Okay, you're going to take off your chef's hat and put on your Miss Manners hat here now. And
well, it's a little bit of a chef's hat as well. I mean, the fact of the matter is that turkey's got to rest for a good half hour before you're going to carve it. And that half hour presents an opportunity to heat up those spinach pies. Now, I bet they're delicious spinach pies, and there is absolutely no way you can get rid of them. But in general, I think we should kind of avoid the appetizer at Thanksgiving. There's no need to have this extra food you've got.
Really?
Well,
but people come at 1 o'clock and you're not going to serve the main dish until 4 o'clock. Stuff out there. Don't you want it?
No, you don't want it. You don't.
Like
the most appetizing thing.
Bowls
about
of nuts and raisins and stuff?
I didn't cook 6 hours on Thanksgiving morning so that you could eat a pound and a half of nuts and then not have seconds on my Thanksgiving turkey.
There's the takeaway. And by the way, you said a half hour. People must be tempted to dig in before that. Full half hour after it comes out of the oven, don't touch?
20 minutes, half hour. Give it a little tinfoil hat. Let it rest. Let those juices retreat back into the breast and get good.
Sarah in Norwalk. This year is going to be your first time, Sarah?
Actually, this year I'm not hosting. But thank you very much for taking my call,
sure.
Brian. I just wanted to share an experience. I hosted for the first time 3 years ago, and I grew up in my family with my aunt making Thanksgiving dinner, and it was an incredible affair with silver and linens and two or three sides of this and two or three sides of that. Everything was perfect. She'd spend days beforehand happily making everything. And so it was my turn to host my husband's family, who are about a minimum of about 18 people, and then add on the children. So it was quite a burden on my shoulders. I was excited to do it, but I was also terrified. And I think the biggest takeaway was that I thought it needed to live up to my memory of childhood. And I thought it just needed to be perfect. And so I slaved away, worked very, very hard to make sure that everyone had their special side that they liked. And in the end, after I had sort of slaved and made everything sort of perfect, I was exhausted. I didn't get to have enough time with my kids. And the truth is that his family didn't care.
That you got enough time with your kids, or didn't care about effort?
No, I'm sorry. They didn't care about the silver or the linens or what was out,
right.
About the food that was there.
So how would you do it next time?
Oh, boy. I would really just take it. It doesn't need to be perfect.
It doesn't need to be perfect, but they did care. They really did. They didn't say anything. But there were people at that table who will remember, as you remember, your relative's beautifully set table and lovingly prepared meal.
So do it again?
I would say do it again. I think it's
Your family time. Because one of the big things about giving any party, as you know, is that sometimes you don't have fun at your own party because you're working too hard.
That's correct. And you are giving something to your family. You're giving something to those 18, 19, 20 people. And that is your free will offering on this Thanksgiving Day.
Cognitive dissonance, Sarah.
I do think that the next time I do it, I just, because first of all, it won't be my first time, is to just really breathe, relax, and take in everything that I can. And I will step down the sides. It was a little much. But it was a fantastic memory, and I certainly will host again, maybe just on a smaller scale.
Thank you, Sarah. We're almost out of time with New York Times national editor Sam Sifton, who you know better probably in his previous role as food columnist in the magazine. His new book is Thanksgiving, How to Cook It Well. And we don't really have time to get into the post-Thanksgiving chapter, which I think is really a hoot. Turkey salad, turkey gumbo, turkey a la king, a proper turkey sandwich. Maybe someday people won't buy much too much bird. But if this doesn't put you on the spot too much, I was very surprised to turn on the Today Show today, and there alongside Benghazi and the fiscal cliff was this huge story about your successor, Pete Wells, and his review of Guy Fieri's Times Square restaurant. It's being called the meanest restaurant review of all time. Some love it. Some think it was a low blow. Would you have chosen to review that kind of downscale Times Square restaurant?
I don't know that it's a fairly expensive restaurant.
And we have 30 seconds, by the way.
No, I think that this is exactly what we can do. I think it was a great review. Guy Fieri's a great guy. His show is terrific. And all these fans, these supplicants, come to his restaurant, and then to discover that it's as bad as Pete says it is, I think that's service journalism at its very best.
All right. What's the meanest review you ever wrote?
There were a few. Nello, Lavo, you know, it goes on.
You'll come back next time, and we'll talk about being national editor and some of the national news.
Okay? National news is good.
Sam Sifton, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC.